You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action, and it's not just any Saturday. It's the biggest Saturday of them all. The greatest steeplechase in the world, the Grand National, takes place at Aintree. 5:15 is the start time for that race. 1:30 p.m. is the start time for Racing Radio. Gareth Topham, Kevin O'Malley and James Millman, the team in the studio. Four Grand National Day, three other grade ones, or three grade ones alongside the National, I should say, on the card as well. A real good day to look forward to at Aintree. I've got plenty more alongside that as well. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
Good, thank you, John Boy. Good to be here.
Yeah. You picked a good podcast to get involved
with. I have, yeah. At least I know some of the horses in this podcast.
What a race the Grand National is. Before we get stuck into all of the form and everything else, it's the race that sparks interest for many people. It's the race that gets people into horse racing as a sport. There's drama. The fences are unique. There's great stories in the history of the National. It's superb, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's one day of the year that people want to be friends with me. I'm not quite sure why, because I never tip the National winner, but people you don't hear from for a year, they suddenly find your number and ask how you are, but what's the winner of the National? And yeah. I'm sure it'll be the same tomorrow. So hopefully we'll be able to find the winner on this podcast.
Hopefully so. We'll move on to the Grand National later on. We'll also hear from Sir Anthony McCoy, Andrew Thornton and Jim McGrath on the big race as well. We're also going to look at the three grade ones on the card at Aintree. But before we get to all of that, let's just have a quick look back at the second day of the Grand National Festival. A good day for the Potts, Tizard and Robbie Power as well. They had Pingshu win the top novices hurdle, and they also had Fox Norton win the Melling, so two grade one prizes for them on the Friday.
Yeah, gave it an outstanding ride, Robbie Power. Of course, this is really the first meeting that he has been retained jockey to the Pottses, and he just nicked three lengths at the penultimate flight. And I think that's made the difference. Mount Muse was just caught a little bit flat footed. I think he'll be a cracking chaser next year, over probably 2.5-3 miles, and he just got caught cold. Did Mount Muse, he stayed on one pace to be second. Obviously disappointing was the favourite River Wild, who was third in Supreme Novices at the Cheltenham Festival. The way he hung his head to the right slightly probably suggested that this was one race too far here for him. But Pingshu, he was hard to find, Mark. He was well beaten at Cheltenham. He'd shown good form earlier in the season, but he had a lot to find with the likes of River Wild. But I think it was a superb ride from Robbie Powell, which nicked the race and rewarded punters at a big price of 16-1.
Yeah, you could say similar about Fox Norton, because the horse didn't jump particularly well on the first circuit. He managed to keep him interested enough, timed his effort perfectly to get the better of sub-lieutenant there in the Melling as well.
Yeah, he didn't jump great. I just think he was took off his feet early. This was over 2.5 mile, of course. He was second in the champion chase just a month ago at Cheltenham. This was over 2.5 mile, the champion chase over 2 mile. I think he could well be a really good 3-miler next season. They've got all options open. Obviously, there's a 2-mile, 5-furlong race in the Ryanair at Cheltenham. They could well be tempted with that going forward. Or even the King George. We'll probably come to the King George betting in just a second. But Fox Norton, I think the further he went, the better he jumped, the better he got, and given another really good ride by Robbie Power.
Yes, you mentioned the King George there, so that leads me nicely onto Mike Bite winning the Mildmay Novices Chase. Got the better of Whisper once again. The race was a little bit less dramatic, if you like, but Mike Bite showing that form stands up.
Yeah, he should still be unbeaten, you would say, over fences.
Yeah.
He was going to win by half the track at Kempton when he fell at the last Royal Vacation, picked up the pieces there. He won at Cheltenham despite trying to give it away on the running. He's got a lot closer to him today, because if he hadn't hung on the running, he would have demolished Whisper at Cheltenham. He's got a lot closer to him today, but I just think he was idling the majority of the way. He was good value for 3 or 4 more lengths the way he was, you know, just idling. His ears were pricked the whole way.
Yeah.
Probably the jump at the last did settle it, but I think if Whisper had loomed up alongside, he would have found a bit more. He is quirky, Mike Bite, no doubt, but we still don't actually know how good he is, because just his way of running, he's never going to win too far, barring at Kempton where that was his going day. But He's won the RSA despite coming to a standstill on the run-in. He's won here with his ears pricked. And the King George, if they all turn up, which we know is very difficult, Mark, because look at this season, how many injuries we've had. Thistlecrack heads the betting 5-2. Duvans falls along with Mike Bite. And the Gold Cup winner, Sizing John, is 7-1. And, of course, yesterday's big winner, T for 2, is 12s. Native River, 14-1. Coney Gray, we're going to see at Punchestown, 16-1. Q Card, will we see him again next season? Former King George winner, 16-1, 20-1, and bigger the rest. I wouldn't be playing anti-post markets now. I mean, what price did just to get there? We're seeing the chaos and the injuries with National Hunt Racing already this season. But it's going to be very, very exciting. And the connections have come out. They're going to target the £1 million bonus, which, of course, is the race at Haydock, the Betfair Chase, the King George at Kempton, and then, of course, the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So that's all to look forward to next season.
It is. We're getting ahead of ourselves. That's all the way in December next year. Later this year. So we won't dwell too much on that. We'll leave there. We'll leave Friday there as well at Aintree, and we'll move on to the big day. Grand National Day itself. We'll get all these picks along with Ippy McCoy and Andrew Thornton and Jim McGrath on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll save the best to last. We'll move on to the Grand National. At the very end of this piece, we start our look ahead in the 225, the Mersey Novices Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 2.5 miles, market headed by Finian's Oscar at 3-1 at the time of recording this. It's 9-2 Brio Conti and Mezier des Aubeaux, 6-1 Le Briol. I don't know if that's how you say it. Lochdurg Spirit, 6-1, 11-1 Captain Foray, 16-1 Bar Those. Finian's Oscar, a pretty logical starting point given how good a day Colin Tizard and the Potts and Robbie Power have had.
Yeah, perhaps worth taking that 3-1 now, because people latch onto it tomorrow. Punters, once, twice a year punters will know the Potts have had a great opening couple of days at the Aintree Festival, and I think he'll go off a lot shorter than 3-1. He's still unbeaten over hurdles, was a very, very impressive winner of the Tolworth at Sandown. Missed Cheltenham, which could be a blessing in disguise, because Cheltenham, as we've already seen in this meeting, take a lot out of the horses. So that could well be a blessing in disguise. But because of that, he's going to get overbacked, isn't he? You would have thought here, Finian's Oscar. I'm very, very keen on the second favourite here, Brio Conti, for Paul Nicholls and Sean Bowen. I think he's going to want 3 miles in time. This is the intermediate trip of 2.5 miles. But I think this horse is a potential Gold Cup winner going forward. It was, it was a really good performance when we saw him last time at Kempton. That was off a mark of 1.34. I mean, we could look back in years to come and say, a mark of 1.34. He was absolutely thrown in. He had £30 in hand when beating Divine Spear, who was well punted, and Dream Berry. That was a valuable handicap hurdle at Kempton last time. Prior to that, he'd won a lesser event. But going forward, perhaps not tomorrow, but I think he's a future Gold Cup runner. Maybe not winner, but Gold Cup runner. So Brio Conti at the prices, stepping up a little bit in trip. 9-2, I think, is a very fair price against a horse in Finian's Oscar. If you fancy him, I would suggest backing him now, because he's going to go off a lot shorter, I would say, tomorrow afternoon. But you've got to respect his chances. Still unbeaten, Finian's Oscar, won the Tolworth Hurdle, and it's probably a blessing that he managed to miss the Cheltenham Festival. But Brio Conti, the second five for me at 9-2.
Yeah, bit of a nibble there as well. Fives into 9-2 at the time of recording this. Finian's Oscar 3-1 on the middle of the afternoon on Friday. We move on to the 3 o'clock next, another Grade 1 contest. This is the Maggle Novices Chase. It's over just short of 2 miles. Market headed by Charbel at 8-11. It's 4-1 for Politolog. Forest Behan is 6-1. 6-1 for San Benedito, and Colopia is the 50-1 outsider. So short in numbers, reasonably decent horses in there, though.
It's interesting as well, because we've got only the five runners, but plenty of pace on here. Politolog likes to bowl along. He ran really well in the JLT before fading, so the step back in trip you'd have thought would suit him here. He's a bold, real gallant jumper, really impressive jumper. But I think he doesn't find a great deal off the bridle, Politolog. Arguably the most unfortunate horse at the Cheltenham Festival was Charbel.
Yeah.
Was banging contention when falling at the second last in the Arkell. I think he'd have won the Arkell on that day. Been runner-up at least, you would argue. And without that blunder, he sets a huge form standard. It wasn't really a blunder. He's just knuckled on landing and come down after the fence. So Charbel, he's going to be around about 8-11 favourite, I think. That one worry is there is a bit of pace on here, so he might get a contested lead with Politolog, but I'm willing to forgive that fall at Cheltenham. I think he would have won on that occasion, and I think he can make amends here in the Michael Novices.
Okay, Charbel there then. For all, we move on to the 420 next, the Stayers Liverpool Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over three, well, they extend of 3 miles. We've got a field of 12. Set to go to post for this. Yanworth, the 7-4 favourite. 7-2, Cole Harden. 7-1, Super Sunday. Bally Optic, 8-1. Snow Falcon is 10s. Petty Zig is 14-1. And it's bigger prices for the others. We've got the usual staying hurdlers in there, if you like. But then you've also got Yanworth, who ended up in the champion hurdle, was disappointing at the Cheltenham Festival. Disappointing beating favourite, wasn't he? So, is it logical to try this longer trip?
Definitely logical. His jumping didn't stand up over that speed test in the champion hurdle. His jumping's never really been great, has it? But he's got a huge engine, Yanworth. You only have to look at this season and last season's form especially. And it really does stand up to the optimum test. He's short enough, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Given how disappointingly, in terms of price, he was favourite for the champion hurdle, or near enough favourite, when he could only finish 7th. And at 7-4, he's probably short enough. Cole Harden, we all know what he's going to do. He's got first-time headgear on today. He gets his ground, and he's going to set really quick fractions for the rest to aim at. So you've got to respect him, especially with the better ground and the new headgear. But
it was a bit of a bizarre... Well, not bizarre, but it was a too keen a ride, wasn't it, at Cheltenham?
Yeah, Warren Greatrex came out and he wasn't best pleased with the way that Cheltenham had watered the ground. He's obviously a top-of-the-ground horse. He's had breeding issues in the past as well. So, you know, the spring, horses who have breeding problems tend to flourish in the spring, the better weather.
Yeah.
Obviously, the ground's better. And he has got, as I say, the first-time visor on. But it's just his way of racing. He just sets himself up for a fall, doesn't he, or a closer. If he goes off too quick, I don't think that Gavin Sheehan's ever in too much control with him. He just lets him bowl along and do his own thing. So, you know, speed trap will help, but you never like backing a horse who's going to go off so quick. He is going to be worn down. He is a former world hurdle winner, Mark, but on that occasion, we didn't really know too much about Cole Harden, what he was going to do. Everybody now knows he's going to bowl off in front and set a real quick pace. So, Yanworth's got to be respected. 7-4, I think he's too short. But I'm going to go with the Harrington horse here. Of course, runs in the Potts colours. They've had a great first couple of days. Robbie Power, what more can be said about him? Cheltenham Festival winner, Super Sunday, won the Coral Cup, and he won impressively by 2 lengths. Had Takin Desoy in behind him on that occasion. I think he's related to Nathaniel, this horse. Very stoutly bred Super Sunday. Was a smart bumper performer as well. It's taken a little bit of time to find his feet with Jesse Harrington. Obviously moved yards when the Potts team moved all the horses from Henry de Bromhead in the summer. It's taken, as I say, a little bit of time to find his feet, but has got better with every run. That was a career best in the Coral Cup off a mark of 148. The handicap is putting up £7 for that, obviously. This isn't a handicap, but he's rated 155, which would put him bang in the mix here. And I think just at the prices for a red-hot trainer-jockey combination, Super Sunday is the one for me in the 420.
Super Sunday then to win the Stayers Liverpool Hurdle, and we move on to the big one then next, the 515, the Grand National, a Grade 3 handicap chase, 4.25 miles and 30 fences. Those unique fences as well to jump here. The market looks like this at the time of recording. Definitely red, 10-1, 11-1 Via Leon Rouge. One for Arthur is 12-1, 14-1 The Last Samurai. More of that 14-1 as well, as is Black Lion and Cause of Causes. 16-1 Pleasant Company, 20-1 Safé de Rue, the Young Master, Uccello Conti and Highland Lodge. Vicente also in there at 20s, as is Rogue Angel, and it's 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start with the thoughts of Jim McGrath.
I reckon the Irish have a big part to play in this year's National. In fifth, I reckon it will be last year's sixth, Uccello Conti. Next up, I think it'll be Thunder and Roses for last year's winning trainer, Miles Morris. Third, Vicente for Paul Nichols. Second, Black Lion, such a consistent horse. But the winner is Pleasant Company, Ruby Walsh, Willie Mullins.
Pleasant Company then tops the list there. The top five selections from Jim McGrath. We are paying five places at William Hill as well. It's a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, if you bet online at williamhill.com for the Grand National, same on the app as well. That's Jim's top five, rather. Let's hear why he fancies Pleasant Company in particular.
The field for the Grand National at 5:15 includes three of the first seven home from 2016. The Last Samurai 2nd, Uccello Conti 6th, and Vieux Lion Rouge, who was 7th. Vieux Lion Rouge has won two important Aintree trials since then. The Beecher Chase over the national fences in December, where he beat several national runners, and the Grand National Trial itself at Haydock in February, where he held off Black Lion. And Black Lion is now better off at the weights. He's also well handicapped compared to leading fancy Definitely Red. Definitely Red, though, has had a good season, winning 3 handicaps, despite not looking the most fluent jumper at times. To me, the pick of the Irish is Pleasant Company. He's enjoyed a preparation similar to that used on Hedge Hunter prior to his win 12 years ago. And in a typically competitive looking national, I'm going for Pleasant Company with Black Lion as my second choice.
Yeah, got in-depth thoughts there from Jim McGrath, then. Pleasant Company is his selection. On the shortlist for yourself, Al?
It's my number one on the shortlist. So Jim sort of stolen my thunder a bit there. I think we may as well go through the top of the betting and go through them, Mark, and I'll give you the pros and cons, if you like.
Yeah, please do.
Definitely Red's a favourite, 10-1. I'm not so sure about his jumping. I know he's won the Grimthorpe at Doncaster, a proven trial for the race. He's quite exuberant the way he travels and he runs, and he doesn't get very high at his fences.
Okay.
I think he's a favourite definitely worth taking on. Vieux Lion Rouge has had a terrific year so far. He won the Grand National Trial at Haydock. Black Lion followed him home on that occasion, but he is wrong at the weights with Black Lion now. Yeah. He's ran well in the Beecher, of course, as well, over 3-1. But he ran the race last year, he ran okay, but I don't think he stayed. He was treading water last season. And when they tried him in the 4-miler at Cheltenham again, I'm not quite sure he stayed. So trip for me is the worry about Vieux Lion Rouge. One for Arthur. He's the pride of Scotland. All of Scotland will be back in this horse. For Lucinda Russell. It's been a race against time for the jockey Derek Fox to ride him. He broke his wrist just over a month ago. It's quite remarkable that he is riding one for Arthur. Won the Classic Chase in very, very different conditions. The Classic Chase, again, a good trial for the Grand National over a marathon trip at Warwick. But that was knee-deep ground. This horse ran well in the Beecher, finishing 5th. But I think he was too far back. And I think he'll get caught too far out of his ground again here, Mark, because one for Arthur, he's a thorough stayer. And I just think, even though it's over in the extended 4 miles, he might get done for a little bit of toe on the better ground.
Okay.
So I'm taking him on. The Last Samurai, last year's runner-up, ran a terrific race. Finished 2nd behind Definitely Red, of course, at Doncaster. I just feel last year was his year.
Yeah,
he's top of the weights now, 11 yeah. stone 10. That could well stop him. Then we come to more of that. He's 14-1. Classiest horse in the race, no doubt. Before this season, he was the only horse to beat Annie Power, I think. Annie Power didn't fall.
Yeah.
So barring a fall, he's the only horse to beat Annie Power. That shows how classy he is. But he's had huge issues.
Yeah.
He ran well in the Irish Gold Cup. Ran okay to a certain extent in the British version. He's had breathing problems and he's also bled in the past. So more of that. Probably the classiest horse in the race, but he has got more than one issue coming into it.
Yeah.
Black Lion, I am not sure whether he will stay this far. It is his debut over the national fences. He was a very good 3rd to Native River at this meeting 12 months ago. That was, of course, on the Malmay course. And they have targeted this meeting. He comes here fresh. He's bypassed the Cheltenham Festival. He did have to concede weight even all round at the national trial at Haydock. Obviously, Vieux Lion Rouge beat him that day, but he does get weight off him this time, so he's better off at the weights with him.
Yeah.
And he's well handicapped, you'd have thought, on old form, a former Cheltenham Festival winner. But coming into the final straight of the Hennessy, he was the last one on the bridle. I know this is a little bit better ground, but I'm not quite sure whether he'll stay this marathon trip. So, leaving Black Lion, on to Cause of Causes. He's one who will stay the trip. Ran the race last year. Cheltenham Festival winner, won the cross-country chase at Cheltenham. But I think he's too high in the handicap now. Again, I think perhaps last year could well have been his year. But he's gone up in the weights. He's had tuck in Cheltenham as well. So for me, he's worth taking on. Which leads me to my first and probably my strongest selection.
Yeah.
Which is Pleasant Company. I think you take the 16-1 now because Ruby Walsh rides. Willie Mullins trains it.
Yeah.
All the year, once a year, twice a year punters, I think we'll be latching onto this horse tomorrow. He's nicely weighted is pleasant company. He comes on the back of two victories, and both of them in proven Grand National trials. He's also unexposed. Got the benefit of Ruby Walsh, Grand National winning jockey on board, and what more needs to be said about the trainer, Willie Mullins. So the Irish horses often get overlooked. We saw an Irish winner again last year in Rule the World. He's progressive. He's won his last two starts, and I think there's going to be more to come from him coming out of two proven trials. So my best selection is Pleasant Company. We then come to Sapphire Dereux. In fact, I've got probably three of my strongest selections. You know, the same sort of prices. Sapphire Dereux ran a career best in the Cheltenham Gold Cup in March. He's often been goaded.
He's flattered to deceive.
Yeah. But I think that's a little bit unfair. He runs in the Big Bucks colours. We all know how Big Bucks was. So there was always huge expectation about this horse. Mm-hmm. But I'm warming to the fact that he might just be a bit of a plodder. He might be crying out for good ground in 4 miles. And he's yet another real classy horse. Ran a career best last time. And over this trip on this ground, he's one of the unexposed ones. Paul Nicholls, of course, the trainer's title will be decided if either Nicky Henderson or Paul Nicholls can win the Grand National. He, of course, did that with Neptune Collonge a couple of years ago. So, do like the look of Sapphire Dereux. And the other one I like is the Young Master. He's 20-1 for Neil Mulholland, another horse who comes here unexposed, excellent up-and-coming young trainer, and he will love the ground. So there's three for you, 16-1, 20-1, and 20-1. Pleasant Company, Sapphire Dereux, and the Young Master. If you just want a couple more at bigger prices, one who's been very well found in the market now is Rogue Angel, Irish National winner, another Irish horse who comes here unexposed, out of the proven trial, and won at a massive price.
That was 50-1 in the week, by the way. Yeah, people have cottoned on to the fact that it's Mouse Morris, Jigginstown, Brian Cooper's chosen to ride that one. Good form in the book.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've not come for Thunder and Roses as well, because he won the Irish National 2 years ago, and Pleasant Company beat him last time. Thunder and Roses was second, Pleasant Company was the winner last time they met, and yet Pleasant Company's 16-1, double the price Thunder and Roses. So you might be one if you fancy sort of the Irish angle. The one at a huge price, who I think will give you a good run for your money, is Gasline Boy. Ian Williams is in tremendous form, the trainer, and even more so is his jockey, Robbie Dunn.
Yeah.
Finished third on Vic's Canvas last year. You'll remember his miraculous recovery on Vic's Canvas on the first circuit, managed to finish third in the end. Vic's Canvas is injured, so he's not going to make this race. He's picked up a good ride, I think, on Gasline Boy. He's 80-1 currently here at William Hill, and he's won the Classic Chase at Warwick in previous years, and of course he won the Eider as well. He's got a real good record for some bizarre reason in these staying chases, has his jockey Robbie Dunn, and was of course third on Vic's Canvas in last year's race. So if you're looking one at a massive price, then Gasline Boy might be the one at 80-1.
Thank you, Ollie. Very thorough look through the top end of the market there, really. So the main selection is Pleasant Company. We've heard from Jim as well there. We can get, we've heard from loads of selections there. We can get the top five now from Andrew Thornton and Sir Anthony McCoy. We'll start with Andrew Thornton.
My five picks for the Grand National in reverse order are Double Shuffle, The Last Samurai, More of That, Pleasant Company, and Black Lion to win it.
Top five selections in the Grand National then from Andrew Thornton. Just a reminder, five places if you're back online at williamhill.com or on the William Hill app there. Five places at a quarter of the odds in the Grand National. Next up, Sir Anthony McCoy with his top five for the big race on Saturday.
My five picks for the Grand National in reverse order are Pleasant Company, One for Arthur, Villon Rouge, Sapphire Dereux, and More of That.
More of that than the main selection for Sir Anthony McCoy in the Grand National. I actually heard him say in the past he wouldn't have minded riding More of That in the Grand National. Finally, let's get a little bit more around the race with Andrew and AP.
Well, AP, the big race of the year is upon us, the Grand National, biggest betting race of all. I fancy Black Lion in here. Ran a good trial at Haydock behind Verlion Rouge. He's £3 better off in the Grand National. No Feely on board, who's in red-hot form. What do you fancy?
Yeah, there's not going to be much between those, Andrew, that Haydock. trial is normally a very good trial. Villon Rouge has the experience of winning over the Grand National fences, and for that reason I just fancy him a little bit more than Black Lion. But I like the form of the Gold Cup with Safa de Roy and More of That. There wasn't much between them that day. Safa de Roy ran very well. More of That for me has just been improving all season. He ran well in Leopardstown, he ran well in the Gold Cup. I think the Grand National is tailor made for him, and I think More of That will win the Grand National.
There you go, that's the selections for Andrew and AP then. That's the beauty of the Grand National, is that we've heard from four different pundits there, and we've got a multitude of selections, 40 runners, and it is one of those races still where it's open to the surprise. Anything can win it.
Yeah, look at recent years. We've had some big price winners, no more so than Rule the World last year. So just to sum up, my national selections, my best selection, my top selection is Pleasant Company for Ruby Walsh and Willie Mullins. And then my other two are just behind it, Safir Dura and the Young Master. And if you're looking for one at a massive price, then at 80-1 here at William Hill at time of recording, Gasline Boy, one of the big outsiders, might well give you a run for your money.
Well, thank you very much, all. Good luck with those, and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on the action at Aintree on Grand National Day. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you tune in to Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Gareth Topham, Kevin O'Malley and James Millman, the team in the studio. The biggest race of them all, the Grand National, at 5:15 p.m. Plenty of other races on a glittering card at Aintree alongside that as well. And if that wasn't enough, we've got Chepstow, Newcastle, Lingfield and Wolverhampton to keep us going in between. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. Good luck, particularly if you're having a bet in the Grand National, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.